What happened after he did this? Go to chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And by the way, that proves the Trinity right there. One of us. Who's God talking about? Other than Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three members of the Godhead. And the Lord God said, behold, this man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. There it is. He could have eaten of the tree of life. His choice was made. He made the wrong choice. He could have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever. Now God says we can't allow him to live forever in his sin. Thus we're going to have to restrain him from getting to this tree of life. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, into the land of Eden, by the way, to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, that's two of them, and with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, so that no person could get into the tree of life, because they would all be thus from that point on in sin. And if they eat of the tree of life in their sin, they would then live forever in that sin. God had a plan. God had a way. God had a provision that he was going to make for them to take care of that wrong choice, to give them the capability. You know what it says over in the book of Revelation chapter 22? There is a river that flows from the throne of God in the New Jerusalem. That is not on the earth. That is in the New Jerusalem. Chapter 22 is describing the New Jerusalem. Chapter 22 is different than the Jerusalem on earth. Chapter 21, verse 22 says there's no temple in the New Jerusalem, because Jesus and God are there. Ezekiel chapter 37 says there is a temple in Jerusalem forever. And he uses the word olam as he does to describe God's eternality. And that temple in Jerusalem is going to be there forever as long as God has. So is that temple going to be there according to Ezekiel chapter 37. What did I tell you the principle was last night? All scripture, all prophetic scripture is of no private interpretation, must fit hand in glove. Thus, we come to the conclusion, the only conclusion, there will be a Jerusalem on the earth, the new earth, which is, by the way, not a new concept. That's talked about in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. In Isaiah 66, Isaiah the prophet tells the Jewish people, you're not even going to think about that old earth. This new one's still going to be so good. But in this new earth, in this new earth, there will be a Jerusalem with a temple in it. And in the new Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Thus, the new Jerusalem will not be on the earth. Probably, as J. Vernon McGee says, I most likely agree, it'll be hanging like the moon over the earth in space someplace. And we'll have access back and forth through the earth. We'll travel at the speed of thought, so it won't be any problem to get there. You just say, oh, well, here we are. Man, that's neat. And the way I hate to fly, I'd love that for me today, boy. I'll tell you that for sure. But anyway, over there in that new Jerusalem, there's going to be a river flowing out of the throne of God in the new Jerusalem. And there is going to be a tree of life with 12 manner of fruit that we will partake of on a daily basis. That's why I said I'm getting in shape for eternity. We're going to eat, might as well get practiced to do it. We're going to eat forever. From what? The tree of life. That's what Adam could have done. He didn't have to die. He made the wrong choice. Making the wrong choice then allows God to make a provision for him. You know, what's the physical evidence he had made the wrong choice? He tries to hide from God. He tries to use his own efforts. If you've got chapter 3 there, and look just a second what he tried to do. When they had partaken of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in verse 6, then they recognized in verse 7 that they were naked. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now that is that's man's efforts to try to hide their nakedness from God, because in the next verse, God's walking through the garden. He's going to say, where are you, Adam? They're hiding. Got these little fig leaves. Must not have been very big if they could take a couple fig leaves and put them together to hide their nakedness. I don't know how tall they were. Probably short like Bill. I'm big. But anyway, you know, by the way, you know what that gives me evidence of? I believe, listen to this, I can't prove this. I was not in the Garden of Eden, believe it or not. But I believe that that tree of knowledge of good and evil was a fig tree. Because they took the fig leaves to try to hide their nakedness. By the way, what was the tree that Jesus cursed 2 days before he was crucified? The fig tree. The fig tree. Where was he pronounced as a non-Jew? Well, he was pronounced as a non-Jew at the Sanhedrin. There were two meeting places for the Sanhedrin at the time of Jesus Christ. One on the Temple Mount, which is an absolute, but one at Bethpage because of the altar that was on the Mount of Olives. We'll look at that in just a moment. And there at Bethpage, you know what Bethpage means? The house of unripened fruit. And that fig tree was of unripened fruit. And Jesus cursed it. I believe that gives us some bit of evidence. It's sanctified speculation to a certain extent, but gives you a little interesting thing to think about when you're trying to listen to me, that there it is, the fig tree that is going to be used. But God said, that's not the way. That's man's efforts. I have a different idea. I have a provision. I'll take care of you. Chapter 3, verse 21. And unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. And there we see my subject for this morning. Sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. The first sacrificial act took place in the Garden of Eden. Chapter 2 tells us there were animals in the Garden of Eden. God brought all those animals he had created to Adam to name them in chapter 2. So there were animals in the Garden of Eden. And God simply then killed one of those animals, sacrificed the animal to get the skin, the animal's skin, to clothe Adam and Eve. The first provision through sacrifice by God was for Adam's clothing. But thus then started the process of sacrifice, blood sacrifice. Adam thus set up an altar to continual sacrifice as God had set it in motion. And from that point on, it would be for a covering. It is implicit in the statement in chapter 3, verse 15, I will provide a Messiah, a Savior. Oh, you'll bruise his heel, crucifixion, but he'll burst your head, casting into the lake of fire for eternity. Having been bound for 1,000 years, he will burn throughout eternity. That's right there in chapter 3, verse 15. That is the beginning of the provision that God is making, not only for clothing, but for covering. It's going to continue on. Who were the first recorded sons that we know of Adam and Eve? Cain and Abel. Let's go to chapter 4. Let's see if they continue this sacrificial system. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now that's an interesting statement. She had just been told it would be a man child who would come. And immediately she thought, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the provision to take care? Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And that's why we come to, you know, reading in that right, those verses right there, the possibility they could have been twins, the first twins. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Notice that. Underline some of these things. It'll help you remember. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. There it is, an altar set up for an offering to be given to the Lord. And so Cain goes forth, a tiller of the ground, gets some of the first of his crop, his harvest, just like you do at Feast of Tabernacles. All of this implicit in those feasts, historic significance in the feast. Feast of Tabernacles, they bring of their first fruits of the fall harvest, grapes and dates and olives, into giving them to the Lord. The Feast of First Fruits, after unleavened bread, bringing of the first fruits of the wheat, of the grain into there. And so that principle is set up. And so Cain brings of his first fruits of the harvest in, verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect for Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. Why was it? God had set the pattern. It's the shedding of blood that honors God. It's the shedding of blood that restores the relationship with God. We'll notice just in a moment that the sacrificial system that was set in place by God through Moses to the children of Israel was the shedding of blood for the restoration of fellowship. It wasn't for giving them eternal life. It was looking towards that ultimate sacrifice. Yom Kippur, the day of covering for 1 year. Why do they do it on a yearly basis? Hebrews chapter 9, those high priests in days past on an occasion once a year would go in. But now Jesus in the end of times goes in one time to take care of the sacrifice. And so now Abel puts himself in harm's way because he's obedient to God. And he wants to honor God with a blood sacrifice. And so this sacrificial system that starts in the Garden of Eden, set in motion by God himself, provision for clothing and now for covering, continues on outside the Garden of Eden, in the land of Eden.